Okay, Optimus.
There he goes. All right. Welcome to the Cosmic Fury podcast. I'm one, and on the other line we have Mr. Fias.
Hello, hello.
Hey, what's up, boss? So for those guys or anybody's listening and keep on hearing Fias like trying to clear his throat because right now he is catching up a little bit. I wouldn't say a virus. He probably caught something back in the office early on.
So just having some sore throat, a little bit sore, not sore throat, but more of like itchy throat and just fever. But as long as it's not flu, so I'm okay, you know.
yep. Anyway, welcome back, Fias. Were away. You went to Perth, right?
Yeah. Went there for five, six days, I think. But the thing is, the only reason why I go there every year is because my dad actually has a place there. So,
oh, every year? Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's like a holiday home. And usually I will always go there during the winter seasons, which is about in May to July, if I'm not wrong.
Winter season, oh, okay.
Yeah, so because winter season there is, I mean, the weather is nice and all, so comparing to the shit weather here,
it's forever hot here.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, like getaway, short getaway and all. But the thing is, I actually didn't want to go on this trip. The only reason why I went on this trip is because of Sonam, because apparently she, my sis, and my sister's boyfriend, they went there to watch the soccer game, the Man United game, two games in Perth.
Oh, okay.
So I'm an Arsenal fan, so I really don't give a shit about Man United. So, but the thing is, something stupid that happened. I was forced to go for the second game.
Because
I got emotionally blackmailed by my sis and Sonam.
What's going on here?
They were like, "Oh, supporting," you know, looking at my sister's boyfriend and all. So I'm like, okay. So I went there with my sister's boyfriend's brother, who's a Chelsea fan.
Okay.
And we went. So when we got there, we were like telling ourselves, like, okay, you know what? We're just going to go to our seat, watch the game, and get the hell out of there after that. But the whole thing changed. We got there, and he said, "Oh, come to the pub. That's near, that's just opposite the stadium."
Mm-hmm.
Went there, and it was just sea of Man United fan. And I sat with his Man United friends, and he decides to get a little bit too tipsy and say that he's an Arsenal fan and he's a Chelsea fan. in amongst hundreds of United fans and all, and we got shit for it for the whole time we were there.
Oh really? Okay.
So you know, the whole soccer rivalry and all. But other than that, I mean, it was cool, but I enjoyed myself. It was short break, so now I'm back at it again.
Yeah, the thing that got me from what you just said earlier on is the emotional blackmail. That one...
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's the thing about families. They love doing emotional blackmail, so... It's like, you know, I'm like...
You know, they probably might listen to this later on, right? You know that, right?
I honestly don't care because they know how I feel about the whole thing as well. So, now back at it lah.
So at least you guys went there, then came back home safely. I think that's more the most important thing.
Yep.
So, all right. So moving on. In this podcast, we got some stuff we already planned to talk about. And one of the stuff that me and Fias have been noting down since a few hours ago is Brightburn.
Yep.
So Brightburn released back in June 2019, right? Around mid-June, I think. Yeah.
Mid-June,
what was the first glimpse of you getting like the news about Brightburn? Was it a trailer? Was it somebody said something?
Like... Actually, the funny thing is, it was during that incident with James Gunn. Remember, they said that he wanted to remove him from Of the Galaxy 3. And they were saying that, oh, you know, they're not going to bring him to the director chair and all. So I was like, shit. So I googled James Gunn, and I found out that Brightburn. I'm like, then that's where, you know, I started to read more about the movie and all. And I was like, interesting.
But the James Gunn thing was like, I mean, it is something that he said like years ago, right? It wasn't something like and people like start to dig up some of his like past like stuff that he said. Like, so I mean, people.
But the thing is, like you said, it's a long time ago. Hell, both of us probably long time ago said a bunch of shit that is probably like offensive nowadays. I don't know. So the thing is, I mean, he came out and said that, you know, it was a long time ago, you know, it wasn't how he isn't how he is now, or it wasn't how he is then, you know, it was just a joke and all. So I'm like, no, just take it with a pinch of salt, chill.
Yeah, like, I mean, probably he said what he said and then he probably like didn't mean it anyway, but people, So you found out Brightburn in that way.
Yep.
So I think I saw somebody post something on Facebook. I think in one of those comic groups. So it was like the so-called the what if scenario if Superman was turned into the dark side, so to speak.
What if?
Yeah, it's a big what if. I mean, then again, it's an idea which is actually not new to DC Comics. Like the Injustice games. Like that's literally Superman going on to the other side, like 100%.
Yeah.
So due to like unfavorable circumstance where, you know, he accidentally killed his wife and unborn child. Of course, he killed Joker. Savagely did an uppercut and he died. Like when I saw that scene, I was like, whoa, okay. That's quite something. So for Brightburn, it is categorized under sci-fi horror.
Horror. That's true.
Like, is it more sci-fi than horror, or is it vice versa for you?
I think it's more horror than sci-fi, honestly.
Like the sci-fi aspect is not much other than the
spaceship.
Yeah.
Oh, so, by the way, we should do our normal thing. Spoilers. Oh,
yeah. Okay. So this movie has been out for nearly coming to 2 months.
Two months.
So whatever we say now is highly spoilers for people who hasn't watched. But then again, it's already past its embargo period.
Yep.
Spoiler alert for anybody who's listening right now.
Yep.
So, right, for the horror aspect, it's not a paranormal kind of a horror. Brightburn is more of like
I kind of classify it as like more serial killer ish.
Like psychopath.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the development of the character, like that Brandon Breyer, the kid who is like so called the evil Superman. Like, he didn't started out that way. If I try to remember correctly, he kind of like he was trying to come into terms of his his nature, and then he was put into like situations where people like bully him, this and that.
Yep.
So that kind of like develop him to lead on a very dark path, so to speak.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So like what else? Like initially, did you like see any signs of Brandon Breyer like giving signals that he's a psychopath? Like, is he a psychopath or is he a sociopath? I think he's more of a psychopath. Like, he was like experimenting on the idea of like how the human organs look like, which was whoa.
But the thing is, I don't know, for Brandon Byers, you know, usually when it comes to serial killers kind of movie, or you know, psychopath and whatnot, there will always be that battle within them, you know, between the good and evil. Like, you know, I should have been doing this, or or, you know, this is how I am kind of thing, that battle that happens.
Mm-hmm.
For Brandon Byer, it didn't happen if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, you know, him, he's like, oh, you know, which scene was it? I think was it the... I can't remember which scene was it. And he suddenly is like, you know, oh, I need to do this. I need to try this. Or like, you know, he doesn't have that, oh, I need to do this, like, no, you know, I can't do this, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, there was no build up towards him being full heel, you know, going around killing people, you know. I think, yeah, he kind of, they develop his character from like 0 to 100 really fast. So,
yeah,
we don't really connect with the character much.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the scene where, you know, the lawnmower, where just before he kind of like threw it off into the air. Yeah. Like the idea, that scene, because he showed little emotion, but what I saw and how I look at it is like they were toying around with the idea of like the curiosity of like Brandon Byer, like, what if I put my hand? I want to see, like, he's testing his mortality, you know, like, like sometimes we have this like idea or curiosity, like where like we try to see if anything bleeds, that kind of thing. Like they toy with the idea. Like sometimes I don't know. I'm not a like a doctor or anything, but sometimes the pattern of like psychopath, right? they have this certain trait, like. They just want to see how a certain something reacts, just to see what happens. And that scene itself, it's like when I saw, like, whoa, this kid, even though, yeah, obviously he's not a normal kid, but I mean, even if he's a normal person showing that traits, it's something you wouldn't want to be with in a very dark corner.
Yeah,
so, exactly.
So in the sense, I agree. Yeah, like I guess the writers and directors didn't want to have that struggle, but more of like they telling you, like, you know what, he's bad. You know what, he wants to do this. You know what, he wants to do that. Like they give him the power to do anything he wants. You know, kind of thing. Yeah.
Like there's like no brainer lah to figure out. Who's the bad guy? They just tell you this is the bad guy. Just wait for it. So, so that whole entire concept. Are you like what do you feel about it? Are you like would have appreciate if they actually developed more, or was it like just nice for you? Or
I think, like I said, you know, every movie that we watch or every character that we see, we always want to have. I mean, a slight development in the character and whatsoever, lah. So with this Brandon Byer character, I'll be really honest. He has a resting bitch face.
Yeah, he does.
He really has a resting bitch face. So you don't really, you know, don't really know what he's thinking or what he's doing, kind of thing.
Especially when he just killed up somebody, and his reaction is like
he gives that smirk. Then you'll be like, what the hell?
Nah, it's okay. Nothing happened. You know, especially when he just killed his uncle.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy has his, like, jaws hanging by his face.
Talking about jaws hanging. Yeah. One thing I like about this movie, the kill scenes are actually impressive, huh?
They look quite practical, effectively, quite real, right? So,
and it makes you, it's really cringe type of killing scene, you know? Like the jaw breaking, the glass,
out
the eyes, and
God, you reminded me of the restaurant scene.
Yeah, the restaurant scene. Exactly.
The glass shot that went into the eyes.
Yeah.
Went into the eyes, still okay, but then when she started to like look around, when you can hear the, I was like, oh my god, that is. Painful, cell. Oh my god!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That aspect of the movie, I got to give it. It was good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely love the so-called the horror effects on it. It's not a jump scare. I mean, the movie doesn't really have jump scare.
Doesn't have jump scare. But Okay, that okay. This one I'll ask you. Do you think, you know, remember at the starting of the movie, the starting scene already, they're showing Elizabeth Bank, the mom and the dad, I can't remember what his character name, David Denman.
Yeah, David Denman, yeah.
They're showing them that, oh, you know, there's a spaceship that crashed.
Mm.
And after that, it's like a cutscene to the future, you know, kind of thing.
Mm.
Okay, my question is, do you think that it would be a better idea for them to remove that spaceship crash scene and build up the character in a way that halfway through they reveal that this kid is actually alien, he's not from the Earth? Or do you feel that do you feel that, like, oh, okay, it's okay that they put that scene in the start?
I guess it would have been better if they so-called, like, revealed later lah, like, mm-hmm. where this this psychopath came from. And I guess it would be a better plot twist, but then again, because they already, like, promo the posters where the boy was, like, wearing a cape and this and that, so it's kind of a bit hard to so-called reveal that so-called scene a bit later in the movie. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they already promote, like, him, like, shooting laser beams and all that, right? So it's a bit difficult to so-called surprise the audience. People already kind of, like, know mm-hmm. where this boy comes from. But so I mean it's still okay lah when that starting scene how the boy arrived to the planet lah. But then again, if they were to, like, market it or promo it in a different way, I guess it could have worked. But I think it's already too late lah, to the way they put it.
Yeah, that's one thing I feel, you know, like, I mean, when it comes to the marketing of the film, right? If I don't know, if it was me, I would have marketed in a way that, like, you know, like, you know how M. Night Shyamalan signs was? Like, they keep showing the signs and all, they don't tell you what exactly it is. They give you the idea that it's alien, but might be something else, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, that whole feel of it. And if they had, like, taken out the idea of, you know, he's shooting beam out from his eyes and all, and focus on the fact that, oh, these symbols keep appearing, and this kid is... you know, something like that, like building the symbol and the kit during the promotion time and do the reveal at the end, I think it would have a better, you know, people would actually accept the movie even more. Because now if you go online to look for ratings for the movie and all, it's, you know, par average. It's not even, like, good or it's not even bad. It's just average, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. But
the potential of this film is actually, I mean... If you really look at it, the potential is actually really good.
Yeah, it could have, like, it could have been done differently, but the way they started out in the beginning, they definitely were going for the what if evil Superman kind of
idea.
So from there, I mean that's their decision, like, how they wanna, like, go with it lah. But I guess, like, if they kind of, like, sat down and think about how they wanna approach it before they release anything, but I mean, I guess okay lah. Like, I know the ratings, especially on Rotten Tomatoes, quite mediocre. Like,
yeah, was mediocre.
60 something. 65. Yeah. So. I guess it's not that bad. I mean, the movie, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, it could have been.
I mean, if you're talking about marketing, don't get me started on the Predator, like, you know, the poster boy dying, all that. So see, if a movie is that bad, we always keep coming back to it as a reference, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so Brightburn is not that bad by miles comparing to other stuff, right? It's not that bad. Like, it knows what it wants to be. Yeah. That's one thing I give it. Like it wants to be a what if horror movie, and I think it did had a clear message. So only certain executions, how it went by is questionable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
But the thing is, you know, one thing that I like about is actually Elizabeth Bank and David Denman's chemistry. I mean, throughout the whole movie, you can actually feel for them, you know, like, even from the time that you know, they say that, oh, you know, they don't have kids and all, and when the spaceship crash landed, and throughout the whole time in the movie, you can feel like, you know, how grateful they are to have this kid who's actually a psychopath, you know, kind of thing. So actually, like, the parents in the movie, I actually connected with those two characters very well throughout the whole movie. I mean, even at the point that, you know, when you feel, you actually feel frustrated with the mom, it's like, shit, he is a demon. Come on, just look, you know, kind of thing. Like, I mean, she's still like, oh, you know, he's my son, you know, I need to protect him, he's my son.
I mean, obviously they wrote it on purpose lah, for her character. Yeah. But then again, I definitely am just as frustrated with you on, like, he is killing people.
Yeah.
like evidently, like, people are dying and she can still, like, I can find the light in you. Hey!
And the thing is, they made it in the way that Brendan Byer, the kid, doesn't have even a tinge of goodness in him for her to, like, oh, you know, there's something good. And
that's the thing. That's the thing that even gets me even more, like, lady, you need to get a grip. You know, your husband just died.
And she inevitably caused her husband to die as well. So.
And, like, they tease a lot on, like, the power levels of Brendan Byer. You know, this kid, this kid is so goddamn powerful. You remember what he did to the sheriff?
Yeah, I did.
Right there at the doorstep. And he just turned into nothing but just like a bag of blood.
Yes.
So this boy is so powerful. Like, he's like Superman when he's an adult. No? Superman when he was a kid, wasn't like, he was still discovering his powers. But this boy, he's like, after being close to his spaceship for like a long period of time, he just like amped it up and he's like super strong. No? And then for the mom, still trying to bargain with his boy. Oh my god.
But one thing that I actually like about the movie is the look of it. I mean, if you look at the movie itself, right, it looks like a 20-30 million budget. But when I went to Google, it's actually a 7 million budget.
Oh, but, really? That's not a lot.
Exactly. So that's why when I was watching the movie, I was like, wow, this one production value must be high. And then I went to check, I'm like, 7 million only. I was like, wow, not bad.
Million, something is more than that, sir.
Yeah, exactly. So something should get something from this.
Holy smokes. 7 million.
7 million, yeah. That's the budget they have.
I did not know that. Oh wow, nice. That's that's unfortunate. If they were to venture more, maybe do some Netflix series, I think it'll be okay. I mean, they have the look of it also as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can,
you know what would be a crazy idea? I thought of this when I was watching the SDCC Marvel panel, and they introduced What If, the animated series.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking to myself, like, oh shit, imagine if they did something like this, but base it on, like, you know, series, and every maybe like 3 episodes, it's a whole different superhero you know, turn evil, or a evil superhero that turns good, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
You know, this you just said something that came across my mind, like this sudden train of thought that I just had.
Mm-hmm.
For the What If series at Marvel, they actually have the material to do it. Meaning to say, Marvel has their own version of a Superman. He's called the Sentry.
Yeah, Sentry.
Yeah. There is a series of What If written in comics where the Sentry actually killed most of the heroes because his power levels is like equivalent to 10,000 exploding suns. That's how powerful level he is. So basically, but the problem is for Sentry, he has a split personality. And he's also a drug addict. So when the Sentry is being his persona is Robert Reynolds when he's not a Transformer. But when he's okay, he's the Sentry. But when he's not okay, and he turns into this very psychopath, schizophrenic, bad person, he turns into the Void. The Void is like one of the most unstoppable beings out there in Marvel comics. So there is a what if story where they can actually do a so-called a Superman kind of like a scenario turning bad. So the what if, but I don't know whether Marvel will do it because that story is very dark. Like people get torn off to pieces, you know, like seeing like seeing bodies like like rip apart, right? In Marvel is it's rare. It's awesome to see. But it's very rare. So I don't know whether Marvel.
But I think if they do it, it'll be an amazing shock factor for like the Marvel fans.
Oh, you would. I would definitely dig it, man. There's a lot of material out there Marvel can try, but I don't know whether Marvel will try. Because, I mean, they still need to appease their high lots at Disney. So
exactly.
I don't know whether they will do it. But, I mean, if they do, like, oh, man, I'm going to so watch the heck out of it. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when it comes to Brightburn, honestly speaking, like, I'm not gonna be like the critics and you know like Rotten Tomatoes like it's mediocre and all. I actually really enjoyed the movie.
I
don't mind seeing myself watching it again, like you know, playing it during like a party or something, like you know,
kind of. Yeah, it's a nice sci-fi horror popcorn kind of movie. It's like not something that makes you need to think so much on what's gonna happen. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the horror factor is there, especially the death scenes, the gore scenes. It's there, and it makes you feel a little bit cringy and a little bit uncomfortable because, like you know, those things can actually happen.
That's true.
Especially like you know when changing light bulbs, it's a bit dangerous, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, especially when bulbs burst. And shrapnels are actually let me just share a little bit. Last time I used to work at Golden Village, so there are procedures where we need to change the light bulb for the machine, the projector. So changing the bulb of the projector, it is always advised that when you change the bulb, you do not talk. The reason being is that if any moisture lands on the bulb, because due to the heat and the so-called chemical mixture, all that, the bulb will explode. And it's called the xenon bulb. So from what I know, last time at one of the Tiong Bahru, I think complex, so one of the projectionists was changing the bulb. So I don't know exactly what happened. But the bulb exploded and he was partially deaf for about 6 months. So one side of his hearing was like gone. But after 6 months, I think he did recover bit by bit. But it was a very, very slow process. So when the lady had shrapnel, like bulb shrapnels went into her eye, I was like, I remember that Tiong Bahru incident. I was like, whoa.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that is pretty rough, man.
That's no joke, man.
Yeah, yeah. Like being partially deaf for 6 months.
Ugh. Oh, that's crazy, yeah.
But lucky for the uncle, he made it okay, lah. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So for Brightburn, what rating do you give for Brightburn for you? Before we go into rating, the last part of the movie.
The idea of like evil injustice. Yeah, I can roll that one. Yeah, the Aquaman and there was a Flash version also, right?
Yeah, there was a Flash version as well.
And was there a Wonder Woman version? Was something?
I cannot remember on the Wonder Woman.
I know there was like four of them or something like that. And then I can't remember who was the guy playing the conspiracy theory kind of.
He's the one in Guardians of the Galaxy. His name slipped my mind.
He was like wake up, these things are coming.
Yeah. Wait. Let me Google this thing.
Yeah. So, like a role reversal on it.
Yeah, exactly. What's his name?
Google is your friend. Everybody, remember that.
Yeah, Google is always your friend. Michael Rooker.
All right.
Who was Yondu in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and The Walking Dead.
For a short while, yeah.
Yep.
I think so, people kind of remember him as Yondu. Because, I mean, Guardians of James Gunn built him up in a way that the audience actually loved the character Yondu, and when he was gone...
Yeah, he was quite the anti-hero.
Yeah, he was.
For the Guardians, I guess. Yeah.
Yep.
And anyway, before we move on with the so-called ratings we would probably give, I thought I put in a little bit of a trivia time for Brightburn.
Okay.
This is not the first time David Denman and Elizabeth Banks was in a movie together. They were in Power Rangers.
Wait, I know she was...
She was Rita Repulsa in Power Rangers.
Who is David Denman then?
You watched 13 Hours before, right? The Secret Soldiers of Benzaghi. The one with... he was one of the soldiers. Yeah, he was the guy who always liked to read books and give poems, kind of like stuff. This one, it's called Boone in that movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he looks more scruffier in that movie because of his very big size beard. So it's a bit hard to remember. But mostly, David Denman, he is in Drop Dead Diva. I think that TV series last time.
Liz Tyler's sister or something like that, right?
Yeah, he was like the so-called the nice guy in that show. And anyway, for Elizabeth Banks, this is not her first time doing some like superhero kind of like a genre thing. Besides being in Power Rangers, she was also in the original Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire. All three movies.
What was the character?
In the current Spider-Man movie, the Spider-Man best friend, the girl he was dating for that time being when they were overseas, the blonde girl, Betty Brand, in Elizabeth Banks was Betty Brand in all the three Spider-Man movies. You know, the secretary to J. Jonah Jameson.
J. Jonah Jameson, yeah. Just Googled it and I saw her image.
What else? She was in Hunger Games, but I haven't watched Hunger Games yet. So
Hunger Games, I think I watched the first one, the second one, but not the third one.
Hmm.
But she was like the game leader kind of thing.
Yep. So So Elizabeth Banks is not new to the superhero genre, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And for both of them, they have been in a movie just opposite like so-called characters. So for another trivia for later on, we will be talking about is that did you know that Billy from Stranger Things was also in Power Rangers?
Billy.
Yeah, Billy, the so-called bad guy turned good. Remember that?
The he lifeguard. Was the main lead, right? The Red Ranger.
Yep, he is.
Okay. No wonder he looks familiar. I'm like, because honestly I didn't watch. Power Rangers. So
yeah, Power Rangers deserve a rose from us. So, but anyway, it was a painful movie to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
In Stranger Things, Billy, with his hairstyle and his mustache, is quite hard to remember. Like, hey, where have I seen this guy?
He killed. He killed his character, man. Like, he really did a very good job for as Billy.
Yeah. That ending scene, thumbs up.
Oof, the ending scene. We shall talk about it later.
Yeah. So, all right. The other one is the kid who played Brandon Breyer, Jackson Dunn. He was
he
in
seems familiar.
He was in Avengers Endgame.
What the hell?
The scene where Scott Lang was still trying to experiment going back into the past. And then he came out as a baby and an old man, all that. Right? Then there was a small boy version. Remember that? That's him. So
okay.
Like for that split second, like there was like him, then he went back, then a small boy, then he become old person, then there was a BB, right? So this that split second, yeah. So
oh, that's crazy. Yeah. I wouldn't have did that, man.
Yeah, I mean because he split second and then he was like under a helmet to see his face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah lah. I mean, resting beach face. How to remember much? So,
oh man! But other than that, he hasn't done any prominent.
Not much, not much. It's I think it's, there's a few TV series, but I can't recall at this point of time.
I remember seeing him in Glow. You know that wrestling Netflix.
Oh, is it in Glow? As what?
Some guy like small the pilot episode, like first. He just small role, just like a like an extra kind of thing.
Huh? Yeah. I remember Glow. Glow was funny though.
it was.
Yeah. So for rating, I guess I'll out of 10, I give it a 6.5 lah. It's not great, nor is it that bad lah to me.
I'll give it a 6.5 as well.
So yeah, anybody who would like to watch Brightburn, I suppose by now it is circulating around the web, so you can check it out. All right.
It's an entertaining movie. So if you want to watch it just for pure entertainment, then yes, please do.
Yeah, don't expect it to be like a. It's not even at a DC level.
That's all.
Yeah. So that's about it for Brightburn. And next up, we will go on to the next topic.